creativity equalizes all of us, so we're all fans. We also got to see Asian American supporters and fans rabid for this kind of content. I think that's when everything changed for me. It was like, oh my gosh, I'm standing in front of 5,000 people. They know the lyrics to our song that we wrote like 7 years prior, and we didn't even know they were around. Like, we had no idea. For a long time as a coach, I was trying to be that like, you know, innovative coach that, oh, you don't need funding, you know, we're gonna figure this out, you know, a different way. And then it just got to a point where it's like, geez, like, just a little bit of help, you know, would go a long way. You know, artists are already creating things out of nothing.
Welcome back to Bamboo and Glass, a space where we share the underrepresented perspectives that shape our lifelong journey of learning and unlearning. I'm Sophia.
And I'm Pan. We love to share stories about Asian Americans discovering the abundant possibilities of who they can choose to be in their careers, families, relationships, etc. New episodes come out every single Sunday, and you can always listen to the full episodes wherever you listen to podcasts, and also give us a follow on Instagram and TikTok at Bamboo and Glass. Can't wait for today's conversation. Sophia, what are we talking about today?
Oh my gosh, Tan. I have been looking forward to this conversation for months now. We've gotten to have so many amazing conversations with creators. And one theme that always comes up is like, I'm just so inspired by how so many people have this message that they just really want to share with the world, but they're often held back by systems and apps and platforms and just, you know, algorithms that hinder their ability to reach the people who really want to hear from them. And so that's why I'm super excited to talk to Travis today. Travis is a recording artist and music producer with 200 million streams on Spotify.
Whoa.
He is also an artist coach and mentor, and he is building Fandid, which is a tool that puts more power into the hands of fans, enabling fans to invest in the projects they want from the creators and artists they love. So when I first saw Travis announce Fandid on Instagram, I was so excited to see that finally there was a creator who I've been following who was leading innovation in this space. And that really meant a lot to me because I've seen a lot of people who don't know what it's like to be a creator who are like, oh yeah, creator economy is super hot. I'm just going to jump in and build something. So I was just so excited to see Travis be building this. And then I jumped on a call with Travis to learn more about what you're building. And we just had the most heartfelt and candid conversation about how hard it is as a creator to take a chance on yourself. And then I also learned that you're an artist coach and mentor. There's just so much to talk about. And so today we will get into all the questions I've been dying to ask. I really want to learn all about how you're going to apply your expertise as a creator and coach to build Fandid as a platform and to help creators get the funding to create content that there's already demand for. Like, there's people already want to see this content. Let's just, you know, Fandid's going to make it happen. So welcome, Travis. So good to see
thanks
you.
Thanks so much for having me, y'all. This is so exciting. I know that it's been months in planning. So finally get to make this happen.
Yeah. So we always like to start with a little icebreaker question to just get the ball rolling. So since we're talking about creators and creators that we've been inspired by and who we want to support, who is the first creator whose content you paid to enjoy? It could be like a concert ticket, merchandise, album, a shout out on Cameo.
Oh man, that's a tough question. I cannot remember who the first one was. But
just a really memorable one, a meaningful one.
Yeah. I mean, I remember on like Patreon, you know, a bunch of friends jumping on, and I feel like I had like subscribed to Pentatonix. I had subscribed to who else was on at that early time? Peter Hollins was someone.
Yes.
I mean, AJ Raphael was one of the first ones that I had ever like, you know, was really inspired by. And I don't know if I don't even know if at the time when he started, you could even pay for any sort of content, right? You could just go support or buy merch or, but yeah, I guess to answer that question in a roundabout way, I'd say probably AJ Raphael is probably one of the first ones. Absolutely.
Wow.
Awesome. I just saw all of his videos from his wedding. And I was like, wow, I've been following this person for so long and now he's married. They're so together.
Isn't that trippy? Yeah. It's like, it's mind blowing that, you know, when we all like started, we were just like such babies and like, getting married, having kids. And
yeah,
all that.
Moving into big, significant chapters of your lives. Yeah. That's incredible. And it's also so cool to see how the presence has stayed across all sorts of social media platforms. Like, I feel like I see a lot of the wedding content from AJ Raphael on TikTok, which didn't even exist like a decade ago. So it's really cool to see how these influences that we've been around as we've been growing up are still around. So
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. I love it. It's just, it's life still moving quickly, but we're just, you know, getting to watch different, you know, different timelines, different places in life. It's really cool.
Totally. And of course, we're going to be talking a ton about Fandid. So could you give us a brief overview of what Fandid is and what problems Fandid aims to solve?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for that. The big issue for me and just personally, as an artist, that we're trying to solve is really the issue of funding. You know, for the past decade, artists have been building their fan bases online. You know, it used to be a in-person thing. And now artists are completely global, right? Artists are able to monetize their global fan bases. And we're seeing so many people, so many supporters, so many fans, you know, that want to do more, that don't just want access, but also want to be able to help out more and really, you know, create like the dream help create the dream projects with their favorite artists, you know? So really that's what we aim to solve and really be a more powerful option than the ones that, you know, at hand. We really hope to reduce artist suffering, artist financial suffering by artists being able to partner with their fans who invest into their art projects.
Totally. You are the perfect person to be building this. And I want to dive more into your background and your story that inspired this idea. So in your video introducing Fandid, you talked about this moment where your band, New Heights, you were in talks with one of the biggest record labels on the planet, but the partnership didn't work out and there was nothing your fans could do to fund your tour, which is so devastating. And so that is a key moment for you. What were some other moments throughout your career where you realized like, wow, there is a really big gap between fans' eagerness to financially support artists and their ability to support artists?
Yeah, that's a really great question. You know, I think that it's really weird to, you know, to take a look at kind of, I guess, like the whole history of music and see that we're still in the beginning stages, weirdly, right? Mm. The music industry has been around only for 100 years. Music has been, you know, performed for thousands now, but the music industry has only been around for about like 100 something years. And, you know, the music industry is always trying to adjust to the needs, right, of the, or at least it was. And now it's just adjusting to the needs of the major labels. And so really what I had seen was just, you know, a lot of these parallels, a lot of companies doing things that are making it easier for, you know, their customers. And the big question I had was who's making it easier for, you know, fans to be able to be more involved. And, you know, personally, you know, the band that I was in, New Heights, we had done a few Kickstarter campaigns and those were great. And they help a lot of people and everything. But the problem was we were looking to work with, you know, a label at the time that could actually deploy like, you know, larger amounts of capital to fund our tour, to be able to really build this whole business. And the only, you know, like you said, the only places that we could find that was through a label, and there was just nothing else. And I had always dreamed since that moment that New Heights, you know, kind of ended due to financial reasons, you know, was there any other way? And in the issue really was that there was no, right? There was like no other way. We had learned that, you know, even though that label was our dream label, through that whole process, we realized that we didn't want to be signed by them anymore. And we didn't realize that they didn't even know how to necessarily market us. You know, we were a fully Asian American band and none of their roster was. And, you know, like I'm of the mindset that we're all just trying our best, right? And they were really great people. And so this is no hate towards the label at all. The issue is more so the label system, you know, because, you know, you're meshing bureaucracy and, you know, corporate culture with art. And it's really hard. You have to create a revenue model that returns, you know, but then it's with music and it's art. So that's kind of one of the personal things that I saw when you really peel, you know, back the layers of the music industry, that as altruistic as, you know, musicians are and as excited as we are, it has to make, you know, it has to make sense in a sense. And another thing that really introduced me to the idea or brought me towards this idea of Fandid is when we were on tour actually with the Far East Movement. We did the ISA tour back in 2012, and that was where we got to meet, you know, and share the stage with all of those amazing YouTubers and influencers. And they weren't even called influencers at the time, right? Like Ryan Higa and Kev Jumba that whole crew. And we were able to see personally, you know, not only these incredible, talented people, you know, pursuing their dreams and actually doing it and turning into a reality. But we also got to see Asian American supporters and fans rabid for this kind of content. I think that's when everything changed for me. It was like, oh my gosh, I'm standing in front of 5,000 people. They know the lyrics to our song that we wrote like 7 years prior, and we didn't even know they were around. Like, we had no idea. So I think that that's kind of like, there's the side of me where, you know, I this is so random, this popped in my head, but I love the National Treasure movies.
Okay.
And it's because I love the sense of discovery, and kind of that's kind of how I see this. You know, like, everybody is trying to take their swing at trying to improve the music industry, and I think that's amazing. We need multiple people trying this, and you know, this really is just our kind of discovery, our kind of you know, ship seeking shore type of thing of like, hopefully, you know, just from all that I know and all that we know as a team, and especially the artists that are around us in our network. We've been listening and we've been hearing, you know, their cries for help. And, you know, that's all we want to do is just create another option that could really help uplift artists and everyone around them.
Yeah, I see a lot of parallels between the music industry as well as the film industry, which is the industry that I'm spending a lot of my time in. I also just did a Kickstarter for a short film, and even that was so vulnerable to be asking for financial support. And it's something that's a very concerted effort, and it would be nice to, you know, have like a major studio being able to back all these projects so that these creators can get the funding and the resources in order to do their best work. And I think also what you just mentioned about being able to see all these like Asian American fans and supporters, I think there's also that we were also talking about the just financial discrepancies between, you know, POCs and other folks as well, of we don't always have the same safety net to be able to, you know, take really low paying jobs and at studios, or to be able to ball out on the dream short film or the dream feature film that you want to do. And I'm sure it's the same in the music industry as well. And with that, I kind of want to talk about the evolving landscape for creators, because like we just said, influencers wasn't even a term like 10 years ago. And you've been a creator and artist for many years. And even in the last few years with the pandemic and the introduction of TikTok, like, it just looks so different. And it's like almost even more accepted now for people to be a content creator, like on the side, alongside their full-time job and all sorts of things. And so what are some things you've noticed about the landscape right now, and kind of like where you see Fandid fitting into all of this?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I really see it as almost like Fandid is kind of late to the party in a sense. You know, I see creatives. I mean, it's so cool to see people like this upswell of wanting to express people, you know, themselves through their through their creativity. And I just, it's just wild, because like growing up, you know, this was never a job. You know, it was never a career you know, goal. It was always like, I mean, I just, you know, every artist says this, but you know, you're doubted your whole life, because there is no framework of reality, right? And you know, look, we're all Asian American, right? Especially being Asian American, there is no reality, you know, for an Asian American kid growing up in, you know, the early 2000s, other than, you know, honestly, the Far East movement came along, you know, that broke a lot of barriers. But I think, you know, to answer your question, it's becoming way more autonomous, I think, which is so cool. I've always dreamed of a time. There were two things that I was dreaming of for this concept of Fandid to even come about. It was, one, artists needed to get to a place where they were aggregating their supporters and getting that information so they can keep in constant communication with them. And, you know, for a long time, and even still, the issue that I have and that we're fighting, you know, with Fandid, or, you know, through Fandid, is that we have to pay to show there's a paywall now to promote our not even promote, just to show our creativity and our projects to the people that opted in to follow us. And that's really been the big issue, is that these platforms, you know, they ask us to create on them, and then all these people want to come and see our creations. And that's amazing when that happens. But then they put this paywall in between and say, oh, you know, actually those are not your fans. They're our users. And you have to pay just to go, you know, just for them to see it. So that's one thing that's been frustrating. But, you know, the good thing and the through line with all that to me is it's so much easier now to create. It's so much easier to get your art out there, get your music, your film, especially to a global audience, to see the change from like desktop you know, creativity to now all mobile, I mean, I think is absolutely amazing. I mean, the type of records, the type of, you know, short films, the reels, the TikToks, it's just amazing, like how creative people are. And, you know, we're just here to say, look, we feel like this has been bubbling for a long time, and we love that this is happening, people taking a chance. And if you want to turn this into a career and you have aggregated a following in that sense, or just of supporters, it doesn't have to be millions, but even just, you know, people in your real community, if you want to open that up and allow them to be a part, then, you know, you can do that through Fandid. So yeah, I'm really loving how many people have jumped in and how different it's changed. You know, it definitely can get oversaturated, but at the same time, I think the diamonds in the rough, you know, the cream always rises to the top.
Yeah. I was just thinking about all these artists you name, even for yourself throughout your career, how many, like every video, every song, you're like taking a chance on yourself and on your idea. So I kind of wanted to talk more about that, because that's something that you do a lot as a coach, is help people take a chance on themselves. So that's one hurdle. And another hurdle is motivating others to take a chance on you, especially financially. So I'd love to hear, like, what has been your journey learning how to determine the monetary value of your work, and also to like communicate the monetary value of your work?
That's an awesome question. Oh man, I've never been asked that. Okay, let's go. Here we go.
Money.
Yeah. So I think the first thing, you know, is that investment versus donation is a huge thing that we need to talk about, because as Asian Americans, right? Look, we're all different, but you know, a lot of us have, you know, first generation, second generation parents, immigrant parents, and the idea of gathering investment is almost like a sin, you know. The big thing that our parents were afraid of is, you know, they didn't want anything to happen to us. They wanted us to be, you know, smart. They want us to be, overall, they want us to be safe. And gathering investment was always, to me and my parents, was always like a red flag, you know. But I started doing all this research in 2020, and I started to look, you know, look in economics, and I was really just trying to gather like a framework of like how the world of entertainment really works. And what you know, came away with was that everything is fueled by investment, right? Everything. And money is actually just a fraction of investment. It's actually more time than anything. And so really what we're trying to do with Fandid is trying to combine the two, where people want to jump in and help and be a part. Someone said this actually on our podcast. Oh, it was Jason Lee from Jubilee Media. He said, donation is like the friend that, you know, is like, yeah, jump on Space Mountain. I'll be right here when you're done. And then investment is like the friend being like, no, I'm literally getting in the chair right next to you, and we're going to do this together. You know, we're going to experience everything together. And I think for me, that's something that really opened up my eyes, was people are investing their time into music anyway, into music experiences. They're gathering their friends to come to, you know, our concerts, to see our films. They're creating moments. They're creating actual core memories. You know, the funny thing about being an artist is that I don't even remember a lot of the concerts that I go to. I remember moments of them, but I more so remember the people I was with. And so to me, it's about kind of like untethering our minds from investment is risk, and actually investment is actually more about it's more like voting with your dollars. Yeah, co-creation. That's a great word. I try to live my life from like the principle of show, don't tell. You know, I've, as an Aquarius myself, I'm always trying to explain my, you know, my intentions and all my things, you know, to people and to my loved ones. And unfortunately, you know, where words fail, action prevails. And and it's always within the doing that people start to understand. And so for me and my value, I always focus more so on building my own mountain, in a sense, versus trying to justify through discourse, right? To me, I don't ever want to coerce anyone to do anything they don't want to. I think that that's where a lot of horrible things and toxic things in this world happen. But people are smart. People are autonomous. People want to feel in control of their lives. And for me, it's more so if they want to be a part, or if they want to opt in, then we're here for you, fam, right? You want to be a part of the Trio troop, like, of course, we're here for you. It's the same kind of thing with Fandid, you know? But I just believe that, you know, people need what they need at the times that they need them. And so for me and my value, I've just been focusing more so on building my own mountain, and people will find value in that versus, you know, trying to sell myself for certain things. And I always try to look at the aggregate, right? Because as a creator, it's really, you are the differentiator, right? You are in this oversaturated world, you and your voice and the spirit that you hold and the thoughts that you have, the learnings from your life here is the differentiator. And allowing your art to be an amalgamation of all of that, to me, is what sets you apart, and what sets you apart is what drives value. So, I would say, you know, of course you have to sell yourself sometimes. Of course you have to, you know, value yourself, but I think it starts at the core, and it's actually built within your purpose to me. It's not about passion. It's actually more about your purpose. Like, what is the purpose of, you know, creating your music? What is the purpose of you creating your film? And when you focus more on the purpose, I think that drives more value, you know, because the product is one thing, but, you know, you can't, you'll never be able to extinguish the purpose behind it.
Mm-hmm. I'm really glad you talked about the idea of investment, just because I feel like that's not something that I got to learn as I was growing up. Like, you don't really, I feel like I didn't really get to see my parents talk about, like, the time I spend in school as an investment. Like, the time that I spend, it was just like, that's the thing you're supposed to do. Or like, even the money that goes towards like violin lessons, like, that's not necessarily, we never talked about it as, this is an investment into you becoming a really good musician. And so, like, now that I'm older, it's such a foreign concept almost, to like, now supposedly like my community has like disposable income to be able to kind of like attribute that and to decide where they want to put their support to, which is a really powerful thing. But when you just haven't been engaged in conversations like that or have seen examples of that for yourself, I feel like it's so easy to go back to the financial scarcity mindset of like, well, I never know what's going to happen. Like, I need to secure myself first before I go and help anyone else out. So when you coach other creators, and if you find them in a financial scarce mindset, how do you kind of coach them through that to help them realize their monetary value of their work too?
Yeah. You know, that's a lot of the coaching, you know. And, you know, for a long time as a coach, I was trying to be that like, you know, innovative coach that, oh, you don't need funding, you know, we're going to figure this out, you know, a different way. And then it just got to a point where it's like, geez, like, just a little bit of help, you know, would go a long way. You know, artists are already creating things out of nothing. I think that's the interesting thing. You know, everybody talks about how the arts industry is so risky to invest in, but there are more and more creatives jumping in and creating than ever before, and the numbers just keep rising. So to me, it's actually a human thing. But to answer your question, the financial, you know, the scarcity mindset is hard, right? Because that was where we found safety. But like you had brought up with the violin lessons, you know, I didn't know that, you know, me going to voice lessons when I was 13 was an investment, you know, into my ability to grow as a person. You know, I believe that, you know, as much as I didn't want music lessons as a kid, like, I believe that all kids should have them, because it opens up our minds to so many different things. And it's not just money that's investment, right? It's time. To me, it's more about time, right? Mm-hmm. There's a quote that I heard. They said, a focused life is a great life, meaning the things that you focus on, if you focus on the one or two things that matter, then your life can end up being great without, you know, instead of oversaturating yourself. To me, that's really what investment is. You know, you're taking the time to be a part of something. And yeah, financially, that's definitely a part of it. But more so, everything else on the other side is a time investment. So that's usually what I talk about when it's you know, with these artists, because here's the thing too, donation-based, you know, crowdfunding has been around for a decade now, and that's been great. But unfortunately, the idea of donating is a one and done thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like tithing at church, or it's like, okay, I did this thing, and it's like, take my money and go. But with investment, it's you're now linked because of your time as well. So I mean, and the other side to that too, that made me feel more comfortable, was at the end of the day, you know, there's so many complicated things with business and, you know, with multiple businesses and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, one, they're all doing human things, right? They're enhancing humanity, or at least they should be. And then two, it's either you work for someone and you get a paycheck, but you could be laid off or the company could go under at any time, or you gather investment and you work on your dream, or you work on the thing that you want. And hopefully, you know, can reward those people that believed first, you know, later on. So at the end of the day, to me, I'd rather take a chance on the things that are here and here for me, and gather the people that want to see that happen, you know, versus, yeah, I just, you know, so many people being laid off right now and they don't have any control over that. Like, I just would love to have some sort of semblance of control in my life, honestly. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
I'm reflecting on the difference between donation and investment, and as from the fan's perspective. And at first, you know, investment sounds like a big deal. It's like, oh my gosh, like we're going to be tethered. But actually, it's a lot more fun and meaningful than donation. Like, donations almost seems transactional because it's a one-time thing and I'm giving and I don't really know what happens to that. But an investment, it sounds a little bit intimidating at first, but the more I think about it,
it's more like community.
Yeah, the more appealing it is, because it's like not, like, it goes way beyond me just giving you something. It's like we have like a relationship now, and I get to see you grow, and I get to know that your growth is, like, you know, in part, you know, in small part because of my contribution, and maybe even have some return on that. And like investment, like donation just seems so unappealing now when investment is an option.
Right. You know, it's like, cause I don't know. I mean, I think a lot. I think that we're entering this phase in society where people just want to do more. You know, we're seeing REI with their co-op program doing incredible things. You know, it's nice. I mean, I bought a bike like 2 years ago and I got like, you know, $30 back. I'm like, what? I didn't know that. That's great. Like, I think consumers in general, fans in general, we're done with just transacting a product, right? Totally. We want a lot more because we're so choosy now. There's so many brands that we can choose and choose to support. And we're choosing to support them because the brand's values align with ours. And I don't see anything different than when it comes to art creation or filmmaking. You know, someone said, actually, I guess I can announce this. It's already out, but we just got accepted to the Gold House Accelerator program.
Oh my god!
We're so excited to finally announce it. I haven't even posted on Instagram yet, so I'm announcing here. Yes. One of our advisors from Gold House really truncated down what we're doing with Vanded. He was like, "Oh, you're taking the songwriter or the producer model, you know, for a film, you're taking the songwriter or producer model and allowing people to pay for that privilege versus like contributing as a producer or contributing a song lyric." And I was like, yeah, oh my gosh, yeah, that's totally it. Like, I didn't even think of that this whole time. That's really all we're doing is just saying, you know, and something that I would love to do. Look, I don't know anybody in John Mayer's camp. I would love to write a song with John Mayer, but if I could become an investor and get some of those attributes, you know, share in some of the revenue, get free tickets to every single concert in my hometown, get 50% off all merchandise in perpetuity. Like, to me, you know, I mean, I could spend $100 on coffee, you know, without even knowing it. I mean, we do that all the time. And, you know, that's really what the Fanded model is. It's saying 1,000 true fans, you know, each paying $100 for this privilege of really kind of being on your cap table in a sense. And then you're getting all these like perks that are just already natural. They're already familiar, you know, the things that people like, every artist or every investor gets their name in the credits, you know, of every single music video now that I do. Things like that are just very normal, but we're trying to make it as easy as possible because, one, you know, perk fulfillment is an amazing idea, but at the same time, the reality of that, it takes so much time for the artist, the solopreneur artist, to fulfill. So what we're hoping to achieve is for artists to get more than just $10,000, but get up to 50 so that they can actually start hiring contractors and teams and start working as an entrepreneur. Because, you know, the parallels of being able of you know, being a solopreneur for a long time and now running, you know, this startup, it's just like, man, I wish I had more resources, you know, for like back in the day, because then we could have done a lot more quicker. So that's kind of the idea.
Yeah. I would love to just dive, now that we're talking about the process of building Fanded and getting accepted to Gold House, I just want to hear more about this building journey. What did the initial idea for Fanded look like? And how did you iterate on that idea throughout these last few months or years?
Oh, that's my favorite word, iterate. I was exercising and it just came to me, you know, that's why, man, everybody, yeah, even if for 30 minutes, if you can sweat, like some of these guest ideas come from that. It started just as as really like that, like, could I allow people to invest and then just receive royalties? That was just the whole idea. And
what was some of the memorable feedback that you received along the way from either the creator side or the fan side?
I think it was simplicity, right? Mm-hmm. Because the whole idea is we're trying to take this really complicated process that, you know, the SEC has created and try to make it as simple and human, right? Mm-hmm. Very like similar, but different in a sense, mm-hmm. you know, for what fans are used to. Fans, I mean, and that's also why we're called Fanded, because not everybody gets to be an artist or creator, but all of us, you know, we believe creativity equalizes all of us. So we're all fans, because I think then when we talk in these terms of investment, people, you know, we think, oh, large sums of capital, but actually we can invest, you know, people can invest as little as $25, you know, and those are all nominal sums of money that we're so used to just spending on merchandise, on things like that. And just, that's one thing that we've heard. Another thing that we've heard from creatives actually and creators is, could we use this, could we use Fanded to not just create art, but also spin up other different, you know, product lines? And, you know, like could a creator, could a musician, you know, create like a beauty line, you know, and gather investment to be able to spin off their own product line? And that's exactly what we're here for, you know. We've also seen fans. One thing that we've been talking to fans a lot about is what's a good return on investment on invested capital, you know, $100. What is it that you would want utility wise, you know, other than just, you know, a return or 1.5x on your capital? And a lot of them say the experience, you know, they want to be able to have a deeper relationship with the artist, or, you know, get their name in credits. You know, I was just at Disneyland with family this past weekend, and, you know, what in between the gates, you know, you look down, you get to see all the people that their names and the date, like on all these bricks, and you get to see, you know, them contributing and investing or donating or whatever. And it's just kind of a way, you know, to honor them. And that's really the sentiment, you know, that we want to push forward, is we want to be able to allow people to have that brick, you know, that in my album, in a sense, you know, forever, and be able to pass that down to, you know, their future generations.
I'm sure you mentioned already so many iterations and lots of rounds of feedback from different people. What has been, I guess, easier than expected in creating Fanded, and what's also been harder than expected as you go on this entrepreneurial journey alongside all the other creation artist work that you do?
Yeah, no, thank you. I think that the first thing that's been easier than I expected was the amount of artists that are excited about it. You know, a few of our influencer advisors, we call them, Anna Akana is one of them. And then AJ Raphael, and then Wes from, Wong Fu. He's also an influencer advisor. And just being able to talk to all these people, you know, I've known them for a long time, but, you know, I haven't been able to catch up in a while, and just telling them off the bat about this, they immediately understood. And that was very, very compelling, you know, 'cause I think that we're all, especially, you know, all of us, the people that I mentioned, are all kind of creators around the same generation, you know? And so doing this after 10 years, it's not as easy as people think. And the reward is not as large as people think, you know? Just because, you know, someone might have 1 million subscribers on YouTube does not mean, you know, revenue off the charts. You know, they have to pay their teams, they have their bills to pay. And the thing is, through this growth, people started to build their teams. And now, you know, revenue isn't what it used to be. So now people have to cut staffs, or they're really just trying to make it work. So it was cool to see that we're all kind of in this economic circumstance, you know, that we've done some great things, but we want to keep it sustaining. And sustaining is different than just having a flash in the pan. So we want to just create, you know, sustainability. That was super interesting and surprising. One of the harder things that's been surprising has honestly just communicating it to fans and to artists outside of our network. So that's really what we've been working on. And that's why we're excited too, you know, to be a part of Gold House, because one of the things that we want to do is kind of do our own little tour, where we do town halls with artists in a city, and we just get to hear what they, you know, they have to say and hear about their struggle. Because I think the only way that Fanded will take off is through community, right? It's through creating community, through showing people that being an artist is not like, you don't have to be Justin Bieber to be an artist, right? Like my whole goal as an artist was always just to make, you know, a teacher's salary with making art. If I could do that and I could spend all my time just making art, that's all I want to do. And I'm so grateful to be able to do that. But the lesson, you know, that I learned after that was to sustain yourself is also, you know, tougher right now. So, but yeah, those would be probably the two issues that, that run into.
I think there's something really cool about the generation of creators who are kind of backing and leading Fandid as well, because you all have seen what it takes and the challenges of making a sustainable business or a sustainable endeavor, right? Like Sophia and I, we've been doing this podcast for like almost 4 years. But I'm sure, you know, like, what are the things that we'll run into like 5 years from now? Like, how will we make sure that this is sustainable even a year from now? And those are questions that we're not always asking ourselves in the heat of like the beginnings of, you know, the creation journey. And so it's really cool to hear how you all are kind of seeing the long-term effects too, of like being able to get the buy-in from fans and supporters who really want to see, they're there for the long run. Like they're there for years to see where you go from the very first like garage band song that you make in your room to later on, hopefully like being able to do in like more professional settings and studios and whatnot. So that's really cool.
Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I don't mean to, this sounds like a plug, but honestly, like, you know, even what we're doing right now and the incredible community that, that y'all have created, you know, there's so much value in what you've created and it's, and the value is so disseminated, you know, around all over the country, all over the world. And the vision for me, for Fandid and for all artists and creatives is just, how can we package that? You know, how can we utilize that in a way that creates these brands to be continuously self-sustaining? And honestly, if you look into, you know, the world of finance, it doesn't take a whole lot. All it takes is just dedicated people. You know, churches have been doing this forever, right? Completely donation-based, you know, they can like last for years and years, thousands of years, because people are part of a community and they see a need and they invest into it. It's not a donation, even though it is a write-off. It's they're investing more than just their dollars. And so really that's kind of the same sentiment we want to create. And I think that, you know, I mean, it would be amazing to be able to do a Fandid campaign with y'all, you know, and be able to allow, you know, your supporters to go deeper and to be a part. You know, I just think that maybe it's also because we've been bottled up, you know, like all of us have been, you know, in this pandemic for so long. And obviously, you know, travel's starting to come back, but it still is like canceled flights everywhere still. But I think that we're all longing for community and just, you know, we can just open up the doors for that.
Something, now that you mentioned Bamboo and Glass listeners, something that makes me a little nervous is that I think people expect to consume a lot of content for free. And I think that expectation is slightly in contrast with something you said earlier, which is, well, some people actually want the opportunity to go deeper, but a lot of people also, right, the true fans want to go deeper, but maybe the majority of people expect more and more content for free. So I'm curious, like, I don't know, do you think that, how might that tension play out in fans' engagement with Fandid? Because I think that's a pretty interesting, like, contradiction or like contrast in attitudes.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think understanding, you know, I read this book on marketing and it blew my mind, but it's just pretty much said, you know, I don't know the statistic, but the majority of your buyers will be light buyers. They actually will not be the dedicated, you know, few. But if you, you know, looking over history, you know, revolutions always start with a few. Like these moments in any business starts with a few dedicated people. So, you know, it's just a model that's always been working. And I just believe that, you know, all we're doing is saying, hey, people in, around the world, you could be a loyalist. You know, you could be that true fan that really helps us going.
You're kind of putting the spotlight on that, getting to kind of be like the hipster early fan of an artist or of a creator or of an entrepreneur or of a business. And the other thought that kind of came to mind is that this is all sort of like a numbers game, right? Because my old roommate, Irene, she's really big on TikTok right now because she hit 100K recently, which is really exciting. But just living with her, like she'll have like those loyalists, like she'll have those people who've been either around from like the first month or people who just showed up like last month. But they're people who will like stay for like 3-4 hours through all her lives. They'll like be very engaged in the Discord. And I imagine like if that's like 1% of her following that's the loyalist, like what if her following was a million? That 1% can go really, really far. And so you're kind of, I think what you're saying is kind of like, we can't downplay the power of the loyalists and like giving them opportunities to invest, to contribute, and to see just how much they contribute can really take this artist or this creator really, really far and be really, really successful as well. And that's really cool because I feel like I'm so used to being such a passive consumer of a lot of things like on YouTube. It's because I've kind of grown up in this age where I did get a lot of things for free. But I feel like there are people who maybe will find also their purpose too, maybe some part of their purpose by being able to support the people that they really want to see thrive and succeed.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's really what it is, exactly what you said, supporting the people that they want to see thrive and succeed.
I was just going to ask, how do you feel like your journey would have been different had you had Fandid from the beginning?
Oh, man. You know, I would say, you know, I grew up in the Filipino church, you know, first generation Filipino household. So it was like my first kind of Fandid experience. It was always just with people. It was because people believed in me. It was because people, you know, were willing to help out or and, you know, like my dad, he offered us his truck that got us on tour from like, we made a whole smiley face across the U.S., you know, in his truck. Or my youth pastor, you know, bought me like a guitar and that helped me. So if I had Fandid growing up, I don't think that I would have ever wanted to try a label, you know, or I probably would have been more excited to create, you know, co-create with more people, because I could have probably been like, okay, well, how about I give you, you know, some equity into this album if you play on this album, you know, with me, type of thing. Like it would have been more, I think that honestly, my mental health would probably have been better because as a creative, we struggle alone through all of it. You know, we create alone. And then if we don't have any capital to invest into it, we have to do it all alone. And then we have to find marketing dollars and try to figure it out alone. I just think, you know, we shouldn't be doing that alone. I think that's probably one of the biggest struggles with being a creative, especially mental health wise, is the financial side. And I don't think that we're acknowledging that part enough. And we need to have more conversations about how that's really affecting our lives and our creativity.
Totally. I'm sure the people who are listening and are so inspired are just like, okay, how can I play a part in helping your mission? How can listeners be useful to you? Like, as maybe listeners are creators or they're fans, maybe they're investors, like what kinds of people are you hoping to join your mission and join your team in some way?
Yeah. Honestly, if anybody's interested in joining kind of the movement, you know, please sign up for our email list at fandid.com. That would be amazing. We've got some events lined up that we're planning right now, like the town halls where we want to come to different cities. And so if you're a creator, if you're an artist, if you're a music producer, if you're a filmmaker, even if you're an author, I've been talking to a lot of authors, a lot of chefs, YouTubers that want to create higher quality content, maybe a video series, or maybe they want to go on tour. Things like that, you know, there is a need for capital, you know, so anybody that might need that, but also as a fan or a supporter, if you really think and you're excited about the idea of being an investor into art and, you know, these projects, this type of art that can hopefully be timeless, you know, we'd love to have you sign up and we'd love to be able to speak with any of you, really, because, yeah, honestly, I think that we've been told what, you know, an artist's life should be, but I think that there's more artists than ever before, and it's time that we start dictating the lives that we want to have, you know, not the other way around.
Thank you so much, Travis, for coming onto this podcast to share more about Fandid, because I think from just your experience as a creator and an artist, there's just so many nuggets of wisdom that you were even just able to share a percentage of that on this podcast to help us better understand where the gap is between finances with creatives and the output that they put out. And so I think that our listeners are going to really appreciate that. So thank you so much for taking the time to share. And we're so excited about Vandid's mission as well. Our listeners, we've linked Travis's and Vandid's information below, as well as some other relevant episodes you might be interested in. We have episodes where we talk to independent creators, as well as people who have experience starting and running their own companies as well. So feel free to check those out. And if you enjoyed this conversation or know of anyone who would be interested in Vandid, think of a friend or colleague who might enjoy this conversation and let them know that we're on every podcasting platform. And if you want to play a role in amplifying some of our episodes, you can share a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify so others can find these stories as well. And with that, we're going to talk to you all next Sunday, and we hope that you have a great rest of your week. Bye.